Sourcing for innovation, making sense of the rapidly changing worlds of artificial intelligence, workforce development, and digital transformation.
Sourcing for Innovation, episode 34. My name is Adam Curtis, joined today by Jason Foster, principal architect at Catalyte. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We're going to get into some practical things where a lot of times we're talking a little bit theoretical, but we're talking about the value of apprentices, specifically software developer apprentices, and the value that they bring to folks like you, senior developers, architects, even up to the sort of C-level CIOs, VP of applications, engineering, et cetera. But before we dive into that, Hughes, give me a little bit of what you do at Catalyte, a little bit of the background. You know, why are we talking to you today about this topic?
So as in my role as a principal architect at Catalyte, I find myself in mostly senior roles. So a lot of that is software design, solution design, and even database design. We'll actually go through, I've worked on wireframing for particular clients. So I do a lot of design work that way. But most of my role is technical in nature. And so what I end up doing is just kind of leading our team, not always as a scrum master. Typically there's someone, you know, on the team that's doing those kinds of things, but acting as a technical resource, making some of those decisions for how we do things, how things get implemented, and then definitely being a mentor for the rest of the staff that's on a particular project. That's mostly what I do, especially when I work in teams. When I'm by myself, of course, I just am kind of, you know, doing whatever the customer's asking me to do, hands on keyboard, right? So that's kind of, you know, what I do at Catalyte. I've been an engineer for a long time. I have over 30 plus years in the industry. I actually went to school originally to be a math teacher in high school. So a lot of what I learned in the field. So it's hard earned experience. And I think that's kind of one of the things that I can bring to a team is that I've worked in a lot of different industries and over a lot of different kinds of technologies.
Yeah, that's a great melding of, as you said, hands on keyboard, doing the work, sort of the management, the team level, the mentoring, the coaching, and then your background. I have to assume you have a lot of empathy. You can understand what apprentices are going through as they're trying to prove themselves, even if they did not come out of college with a CS degree or just trying to enter the field on their own, sort of under their own volition and under their own talent.
Yep, exactly. I kind of remember back to when I first got started. You know, I was thinking about this, even thinking about having this conversation, right? And where I learned a lot of the stuff, I learned from other senior engineers, people who were also kind of long in the tooth at the time, you know. And I remember going back and looking at some code that I wrote many, many years ago and just thinking, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? What was I doing? Why did I not see that? What, you know? So there's, you know, obviously there's a lot of growth. So yes, I do have a special place in my heart for people that are just getting started.
So tell me a little bit then about sort of your work today with Catalyte apprentice, Catalyte software developers. Where have they fit in on some of the teams that you've worked with, and how have you sort of come to see their place in a team?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I've worked with them on a few different kinds of engagements. So a couple of times it would be me and one or two apprentices working on a very specific set of tasks, maybe not a big project, but you know, a small to medium sized project where it's maybe just the two or three of us. And in that case, they're the ones that are doing the heavy lifting, so to speak, where their hands are primarily the ones that are on the keyboard. They're the ones that are responsible for the deliverables. And I'm kind of just more there to explain why we're doing this, what it is that we're doing. You know, here's the business reasons, here's the technical. If there's anything that you don't understand, I'll kind of paint the picture for you and get you moving along. The other kinds where I've worked alongside them on projects where, you know, sometimes I just am sort of a hired gun. I will come in and be responsible for one specific thing and then maybe be fractional for the rest of that engagement to provide that kind of code review and mentoring of those other kind of junior resources. That's primarily how I have worked with them.
Yeah, I'm really interested in sort of that sort of one to two or like a small team dynamic in there. You mentioned that you're sort of given the business cases, maybe even, you know, painting the numbers a little bit. Is that an apt analogy that you are, well, maybe maybe it's not, you're not the one that's painting, but you are, you have the picture, you are putting the ones and twos and threes and fours where they need to go, and then the apprentices are sort of painting by numbers. Is that simplifying it too much?
No, I don't think so. I think that's pretty close. I think about the one of the current engagements that I'm on, where I'm working with two apprentices on a, I won't say an ancient technology, but a very old kind of long in the tooth technology that's very esoteric and not used a whole bunch. But this particular company has a huge investment in it, and it's not something that you would learn in school. So it's, but something that I happen to have experience in. So trying to help them understand what it is that they're doing, because, you know, at the end of the day, they're looking at code and they understand the code, but they don't have any idea how this fits into a larger scheme. They don't have any idea kind of what the inputs and outputs are, or how maybe all of these things are all put together. And so helping them to understand, you know, what it is that you're doing, you know, the refactoring that you're trying to do to get it to work in this new world, but also just the underlying technology, the business that's behind it, you know, what they're trying to do, the process, all of the interactions that kind of go along that are assumed, right? When you kind of think about everything that's going on in the business, but aren't readily apparent when you're looking at just, you know, 800 lines of code.
And how have you found that apprentices are sort of picking up or absorbing that knowledge? Are they then, you know, more interested in it? Are they coming to you and like, hey, tell me more, I want to know more about why we're doing this? Or are they just sort of getting it going, yep, and then cranking out what they need to move the project forward?
Yeah, I think there's a mix of those kinds of experiences. And a lot of it depends on, say, where that apprentice came from. You know what I mean? So like, I've worked with apprentices that had previous business experience. Like I worked with one that had like an accounting and finance background and really just wanted to try something different. And so that person already has a pretty good understanding of how much of how business works. Like I wouldn't have to explain what accounts receivable is, or like I wouldn't have to explain some of these basic concepts to them to get them to understand kind of what we're doing. You know, others that are really just getting started, that have not really had a lot of professional experience, those are going to take a little bit more, but they tend to be very hungry, so to speak. And so they're ready to learn that technology and get in and roll up their sleeves and do things. And sometimes it's kind of the opposite, where I have to kind of pull back on them in some cases because they've run too far down the field. So it kind of takes a little bit of, you know, you have to understand the project and the people that you're working with to be able to kind of manage them appropriately to get what you need from them.
Yeah, I have to imagine at the end of the day, they are there to make your life easier as well. And it seems like, or I'm assuming this, but since you are, you know, continuing to work with them and go back and, you know, sort of be that both technical and sort of business mentor, that you are seeing that value, or they are making your life, your job easier. In what ways has that happened, or where do you see that manifest?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things that kind of come to mind. You know, I've worked in places that have used offshore resources. And one of the things that I noticed in those experiences is that there was a lot of churn. I mean, in addition to that, some of the other challenges that you have in time zones and language barriers and things like that, that can often occur. But a lot of what I noticed is that there was a lot of churn inside the teams. So the offshore organizations would say, you know, hey, we're going to give you this many people. We'll guarantee that you have these resources. But, you know, you would, as an engineer, I would invest my time and try to show them this is the way to do things. This is how it has to be tested. This, you know, these are my requirements, so to speak, or my expectations. And then 3 months later, I'm working with a completely different person on the same project, maybe even on the same code, and I'd have to start over again. So one of the ways that they make my life easier is that I know that everybody that is doing kind of what I do with the apprentices takes the same approach, right? We're trying to grow them. We're trying to make them and invest in them so that they can do better as they move on. So I don't have to worry about like reteaching something necessarily, right? Especially if I get someone new or it's on a new project. So one of those projects where I was kind of one paired, I've worked with three or four different engineers on that same project on the same technology. And it just kind of seems natural. Like they're able to pick it up. They're able to understand it. They're able to have the deliverables done. And I really don't have to go back and review too much. So they definitely make my life easier in that they can have more time with their hands on the keyboard. They're definitely eager to get in and learn and do pretty much, you know, what's necessary for that, you know, for that particular project. So they really, really help.
It's interesting. Yeah. Almost that there's going to be a ramp time on any project or on any technology, but it seems like at least with the apprentices, that ramp time gets lessened each time they're sort of transitioned from one technology to another. Like they learn how to learn quicker maybe than some offshore people, or you're not having to do a full onboard or full ramp every quarter, it seems like.
Yeah, I think that sums it up for me. I think that's mostly what I've experienced with them. I mean, I was kind of thinking about this too. it's in on some projects, I think it's actually taken longer to onboard a senior resource like me, just because of the access and the things that I've needed and like all the stuff that goes along with trying to get me in and get me ramped up and figure out what to do and all of that than it does with the apprentices, because a lot of the tasks that they're given are they're much more compartmentalized. They have, you know, lesser scope and those kinds of things. But you know, some of that depends on the project. But that's kind of one difference, I think.
And don't take this the wrong way, but is it also maybe because apprentices aren't necessarily set in their ways, or they don't have 30 years of knowledge that you have to try to figure out how to apply to a situation? They're a little bit more greenfield and you can adapt them quicker to a new situation, perhaps?
Yeah, I think they're, I mean, that's, you kind of hit the nail on the head, really. I mean, it's, you know, we, as over time, we just all kind of have a tendency to get set in our ways, and to, it gets harder for, you know, for you to learn new technologies or learn this and that, right, as you're kind of approaching other newer and different kinds of projects. So, you know, I might have great architectural experience and kind of know how software works and how testing works and what's going to make them successful, but I may not know that particular technology that they're working in. I did actually have a team where I didn't really know any of the technology that they were working in, but I could still review the code. I could still read it and understand it and still ask intelligent questions about, well, did you think about this? Did you think about that? So yeah, I think there's some truth in that for sure. And that's one thing that I appreciate about them, is that they're hungry that way to get in and learn new stuff.
Yeah, the hunger, the sort of flexibility, the ability to quickly learn and quickly ramp. Like, what are some other reasons why you might want to choose an apprentice or a couple of apprentices over a mid or a senior level to come in and sort of fill in either knowledge gaps or, you know, whatever gaps you might have on your team?
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the primary things is obviously the cost that's associated with it. I mean, the way that we work with our apprentices and with our clients, you know, it's a very attractive bill rate, especially a blended bill rate. Like if you have a senior resource and some juniors that are in there. So you may consider the economics of your project. And those are things that are going to force companies to maybe want to think about offshoring or nearshoring. You know, in this case, you know, you've got somebody that you could actually maybe convert at some point, right? You may not be able to do that with the offshore resources. I think that's kind of one of the benefits that, you know, to kind of working with us. Now, that's definitely something that's attractive to the customers.
The conversion factor is huge. I think another one that we hear a lot is like, you get to sort of try before you buy, as it were, that you get to see someone's, you know, work done on a team in your own corporate environment. And then be able to convert them, which, as you just mentioned, like is not normally done, if not impossible, for something who is like nearshore or offshore.
Yeah. So I think the other benefit really is that if you're looking at bringing on a senior or a resource into your own organization, you're not considering going with some kind of firm like ours, then our apprentices are also, you have to remember, are vetted in a way, right? They're handpicked out of a big population of people that take our test. And so they may, you know, they don't necessarily have the resume, but they definitely did well on our assessments and are predicted to do well as software engineers. And so that's kind of one advantage that you have, is that, you know, they're kind of in a sense, they're almost a known quantity. You know, you can't really tell until they get in there and start doing the work, but it's certainly a lot less expensive to try a couple of apprentices than it would be to go through a recruiting cycle, try to find a mid-level resource to try to put on your own team. So there's an advantage there as well.
And as we started this conversation, you mentioned you had an educational degree, a background in math, wanted to become a math teacher, were self-taught to become a software engineer. So I imagine you have to go to bat, or you get sort of, you know, up in arms in a positive way when you hear people talk about, well, I don't know if I can take this apprentice, like they don't have a degree in this. Like what is the fallacy? How do you try to overcome that objection without just yelling at somebody?
Yeah, I think, you know, I encounter this sort of attitude in a couple of different places, you know, so it's actually pretty rampant in recruiting as well. So like a lot of times a customer will provide a job description, and then a recruiter might say something like, well, we got to find a Java person, or we got to find a JavaScript person or an Angular person. And they're looking for a very specific thing, instead of really looking for the ability for someone to kind of pick that up and learn it, you know, to be able to step in and be able to do something. So, you know, I understand why, say, a senior level, like a director level, might not want to do that or spend the time to handhold a couple of apprentices by themselves, you know, on a project. I can definitely see that. But what much of what the rest of Catalyte can provide are those other senior resources that could be fractional, that you know have minimal impact on the on a blended rate for that particular project, that can help them, can that can take care of all of that mentoring and that handholding, so that all they're doing is just getting stuff out the door. And so you're all the director sees or all the VP sees, right, is just progress, right? Things are just moving forward, they're getting delivered, they're getting tested, they're getting put in, right? So that's what you see. And so I think that's one thing that kind of they maybe don't understand, is that it can be run like a project. It's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be staff augmentation. They don't have to just get embedded and one of, you know, suck time off of one of your resources to try to, you know, to mentor them along, right? That's just not, that's not feasible. And I understand why they would not think that's feasible.
I have to imagine though, that also this idea or this fear of, you know, overhead or more management for apprentices is being, stated to you by the same people who are having to do more overhead and more management of an offshore team or of that turnover or manage that vendor or manage that vendor's subcontracted vendor or to be up at midnight to talk with somebody in China or in India or in Vietnam. So that this idea that somehow this is more work for you and that isn't is always like a head scratcher to me.
Yeah, I think it's some of it is just a matter of what you're used to. And, you know, this offshoring notion has been around long enough that people are kind of used to what you have to deal with. And so they don't really think of that as overhead, unfortunately. I mean, it is. It's tremendous overhead.
It's just not new overhead. It's just just the, you know, table stakes.
Yeah. So, you know, I worked with a guy a long time ago that was a sort of an industrial engineer and an accountant. He had a kind of a strange background. But what he did was he would go in and do these studies in organizations, and he would kind of figure out what everybody's doing and how much time they're spending doing it. And he could come up with hard dollar costs for pretty much every task that everyone in an organization was doing. And so in doing that, he could see, you know, that there's this, say, like a long time ago, this may, you know, sound kind of silly, but if you've got a director or a VP, you know, making their own copies for distribution and, you know, to the rest of the company, that's not something that you want, you know, that particular level of person doing. So what they would, what he would do is help them kind of recast all of that stuff across the organization, get the right people doing the right things. And you don't really realize how much you're wasting and how much time you're wasting doing things that you shouldn't be doing, right? So this notion of this overhead that you have with, you know, with offshore and with even with your own staff or with dealing with multiple consulting firms trying to pull all that stuff together, like you don't realize the mire that you're in. And so you just don't want any more, right? Yep. So I think that's kind of just a knee-jerk reaction in some cases. But, you know, our approach with having those senior resources in place with the apprentices, I think is a way to deal with that and to alleviate some of that stress.
Yeah, I like the way you put it earlier. It's just like, just, you know, Catalyte is there to help these apprentices just simply move the project forward so that you, client manager, product owner, whoever we're reporting to, just simply sees that progress, productivity, you know, whatever their outcome is for this particular thing, revenue, reduced risk, increased security, like that's just all going in more into the green as we can make it. And you can just sort of sit back and don't have to worry about it as much.
Yep, exactly. And if God forbid something, you know, happens with one of those resources, we have other ones that can step in and we can still keep moving forward, and you don't have to incur the overhead or any of that stuff, the recruiting or retraining or any of that. Like, it's just kind of, it's part of how we operate.
If you had to really distill all this down into, like, you know, a couple sentences, not going to keep you to a couple words, but like, what is like that ultimate business value you think that apprentices, software development apprentices bring to an organization?
Yeah, I think ultimately most businesses understand that they have challenges with software and trying to keep up and move forward with their projects. And everyone is trying to do it with the least amount of resources and the least amount of costs that are associated with it. So, you know, for me, it's just a matter of blending a less expensive approach that with vetted people that are well mentored and managed, with a great big support staff behind them that the customer doesn't really have to think about. So I think that's the way that we can really bring tremendous value in either augmenting your staff or running projects or being a part of a project.
So I'll get you out of here with this question. Like, what do you get personally out of working with apprentices? And like, why do you continue to do so? Like, why do you pay it forward in the way you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of it just has to do with my own background, just, you know, how I approach life. But basically, you know, my wife is also a school teacher. She actually teaches math. So I kind of see what that, you know, what that looks like and how important it is for people to be able to grow in their careers and feel like they're really doing something and moving the needle. You know, I think that's important for people to get that ownership and to have that success to kind of move forward. So, you know, I think that's most of it. That's most of it. But, you know, it's also kind of, it's nice to be able to work on, not have to do everything all on my own, right? It's nice to be able to work on, you know, that's one of the things that makes me thrive. Like I've had as many as like 5 to 6, sometimes as many as 7 clients, like all at once. And that rarely happens, but I've had that many of them at one time. And there's no way that I could get that kind of experience across all of those different places if it wasn't for people that stepped in and actually did the heavy lifting with just a little bit of oversight. So, you know, selfishly, it's fun that way for me too. Because it helps me, I don't have to just sit there and look at one thing all day long, you know, 6 days a week, right? Whatever it is. Right. It's freeing in a way.
Variety, the spice of life.
Yes, exactly.
Jason Foster, Principal Architect at Catalyte. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for really helping develop the next generation of software developers to come behind you.
My pleasure.